This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're back. Worries about slowing economic growth from the International Monetary Fund this morning did a number on energy prices. Fears of lower demand kept crude oil down below $89 a barrel. We live, as we are all completely aware, in a society and an economy dominated by fossil fuels. And despite our best, despite our modest efforts, it's been really hard to switch to something else. One big reason for that is that oil packs a whole lot of energy in a tiny little package, which helps us understand a little bit of how crude became king over time. From the sustainability desk, Marketplace's Scott Tong explains.
In the last four centuries, we human beings have gone through several so-called energy transitions, and each step up has involved a superior product in terms of energy density. In other words, concentrated energy in smaller and smaller packages. So let's zoom through a bit of time. Starting in 17th century Holland, the Dutch burned something called peat, which is moss, very dead moss. And peat played a big role in human development, says historian John McNeil at Georgetown University.
They burned it in energy-intensive industries, beer brewing, glass making, sugar refining.
Peat, though, doesn't burn as long or as hot as what came later, coal. So in the late 18th and the 19th century, coal-powered steam engines took ships and trains farther. Coal also brought new industrial possibilities, like turning iron ore into steel.
Coal has an energy density, a couple of multiples of wood, charcoal, peat. You can't, for example, do metallurgical work with a peat flame. You can't get it hot enough. Coal, you can.
And then we found oil. And once again, the new fuel offered a more dense energy payload. And ever since, oil-based gasoline and diesel and jet fuel have dominated our energy lives. Now, because of carbon pollution, of course, some drivers now are driving on electric batteries, which by energy density is an inferior product. But history tells us that technology doesn't always equal destiny. Let's go back to 1900. This is America's longest-running antique car show. This is the Old Car Festival at the Henry Ford Museum in Michigan. And here there's a 1902 car that runs on steam. There are plenty of gas cars from that era. And a 1902 electric car. They go back that far, and they're so quiet you can't even hear them over the noise. So why did EVs lose out back a century ago? Well, it's not exactly what you think. Curator Matt Anderson at the Ford Museum says electrics, how do I put this, they weren't manly enough for the times.
Electrics were thought to be the ideal women's car, if you will. You don't have to crank it, so it doesn't require as much physical strength to get it running and operating. They're much cleaner than a gasoline automobile. They don't emit the kind of fumes or exhaust that we associate with those cars.
All of which sounds great, except consumers back then, they didn't want that. They wanted a messy adventure machine.
It made noise. It broke down.
David Kirsch is an automotive historian at the University of Maryland.
It was relatively easy to fix, so a man could take his girlfriend out into the woods and do what they will. And if he were very lucky, the vehicle might break in a way that he could fix it.
And thus display his masculinity. Kirsch's point is that culture is an important wild card in technology history. It was back then and could be going forward in ways we can't predict. Today, with car sharing, Ubering, Zipcaring, and more automated driving, the nature of travel is slowly changing. And, like a century ago, new people are placing new bets on rival fuels. And energy density may not necessarily be the deciding factor this time. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.